It's Thursday, July 30th, 2020, Tisha B'Av, and we're together here, and we're going to be doing some areas pertaining to the theme of Tisha B'Av, the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and all of the persecutions that ensued, and is still with us to this day, and we'll be doing this from with the Rosenthals and Mitch Rosner, perhaps some others, in Yerushalayim. So Mrs. Rosenthal is asking a question pertaining to Megillas Eicha. That's the third perek, okay, which is different. It's different than the general approach of the other chapters. But towards the end, the last Ripsukim brings up a very important idea. And see, because the underlying idea, we'll get to it hopefully, but the underlying idea of one of the main ideas of the kinos and the whole day of Tisha B'Av, when we contemplate the enormous sufferings that have come upon the Jews, is the idea of Tzedek HaDin, Lad Lecha Hashem HaTzedakah. Okay, I'll try to weave that in, show how it comes out more in Tisha B'Av, but that is to say that you have to tshuva. As the Rav says, it's essentially, it's a day of tshuva. That's the whole purpose of everything. Because there's no purpose in recounting the past and recounting all the tragedies and all the sorrows. So what? What's the point? The point is that there is hope, and that hope has to do with tshuva. So that's the objective of the entire thing. It's very interesting. In the first parak of Eicha, Ho'ir Abbasiyam, you know, that's bemoaning the fate of Yerushalayim, the city that was so inhabited, so many people, became like an almana, became like an almana. So there's a very important Rashi. Rashi says, ki almana, became like an almana, but not an actual almana. Rather like someone whose husband went to Evayard, they went to the other side of the world, and he's not there, but eventually he's going to return. So that's the whole basis, in my opinion, that's the whole basis of Tisha B'Av. If you don't have that ki almana, then why are you going to Tisha B'Av? What's the point? If it's gone, and it's over, so it's past history. So you can study history if you want, but what's the point of mourning? It's not. There's no toelis. There's no benefit. But the truth of the matter is, see, one thing you can't take away from Judaism is the optimism. Is the optimism. In the midst of the worst tragedies, there's the idea that, because we understand in a general way, that it's because of averos, because of sins, so then it's not an ultimate phenomenon. Ultimately, it's going to be restored. And that's the basis of the mourning and the sadness and so on. It's all to be ma'ora avelos. And, I mean, sorry, tshuva. It's all to be ma'ora tshuva. And the fundamental is that if we do tshuva, then Hashem will... That's what the Rambam says, by the way, that the Sof Yisrael, the Jews, are going to do tshuva, u'miyad heim negol. And once they do tshuva, it's miyad. Okay? So now, here, I think you have an expression of that idea. Because, Yemiza Omar Vatei, who is it that says, Vatei, that's Hashem. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, only God, simply proclaims. Oh, actually, he's saying something else here. That is, if God, when God commands it not. Okay.
So
that means that there's no power. There's no power outside of God. Everything right. exists. One second. Everything exists because of the will of God. Okay? Now, there's only one area where that's not the case. In a sense, you have to understand, kivyachol, in other words. Everything I'm saying is kivyachol. But there's one area where God does not determine. Does not determine, because he gives up his power. That's the idea you find in Kina 16. When Titus, all the desecrations of the Beis HaMikdash, and where's God? Oh, God is locked up in chains. Who locked him up in chains? God locked himself up in chains. So you have that notion that there are certain things, not that God can't do. I mean, he can, but he doesn't, let's put it this way, he decides not to. He doesn't want to do. Now, I think that the area where God does not reign is the area of human choice. I think this is the idea of HaKol Bidei Shamayim, Chutz Mi'ir Shamayim. That is, God could control our free will and determine that we should do good or determine that we should do evil. But here, this is the foundation. I mean, the Rambam quotes this this is the foundation of the idea of Bechira Chavshus. And we don't know why God, you can give all kinds, I don't know if you, we can't explain, why did God decide that we should have free will? And we should be, therefore, we should be the cause of our own goodness or the cause of our own evil. Didn't have to be that way. For example, no. I don't think the angels have free will in any kind of a sense that we have free will. That is, they don't have a choice. Should I listen? Should I follow the command of God? No. That's but man has free will because God made the decision that there should be one being. I mean, there's all kinds of midrashim about that, that the heavenly host argued with him. Doesn't make sense, you know, and God overruled them because it doesn't make sense if you think about it logically. Because man is ambivalent. I mean, what is he? On the one hand, we're instinctual, and we have all these instinctual drives, ra, what we call the Yetzer Hara. On the other hand, we have another side of us that seeks to elevate ourselves, to get the Yedias Hashem, to know God, and what we would call basically the spiritual perfections. That's a country, and they contradict us. It's a constant state of warfare. Right, from the minute you're born until you die, it's a constant state of warfare. So does it make sense? So the angel, so to speak, said it doesn't make sense. I think that means that it's a divine, God overruled, it means that the existence of man makes sense only when you're on the level of a divine wisdom, not ordinary. Anything lower than that would say no, because it's not, we see, it's not a logical thing. That's the doctrine that's being... So even though we don't understand it, but we're obligated to live by that. That is, if a person says, "Look, I can't. I was made to sin."
And wait, which source are you talking about with the angels? That the angels are saying something.
There's a midrash, okay? I think it's brought down in conjunction by Noach. Maybe Rashi brings it down. There's a few midrashim to that effect. Let me see if I can find it. As nisht, you'll have to take my word for it.
Okay.
Hold it a second. I'm giving a quick look. Vani hin mimevi es amabo mayim al haaretz l'shachis kol bosa shebo ruachayim mitachas hashmayim kol hashebo aretz zivu. That's when God is telling Noach he's going to bring the mabo. Here we go. Vani hin mimevi zokrashi hin mimuchan lahaskim Im osam, I am now prepared to agree with those shezerzuni v'amru lefanai kvar ma enosh kises gerano. Oh, I thought this is a different one. Same, but there's other Rashi's. This is close, but it's not the exact one. I thought it was the exact one. Okay, but anyways, there's Midrash Chazal.
Two sides of looking at how Hashem should act.
Yeah, well, I'm saying that indicates that the creation of man is not so pashut. That it's a very complicated phenomenon due to the unique nature of man. Okay, but nevertheless, Hashem passed,
yeah.
Hashem decided. So it was a decision, right? Chait said.
Right.
The point is that only divine wisdom could have made that decision. So it's based upon the doctrine of Bechira.
Right.
Then it says, "Mipi Elyon," in spite of the fact that God controls everything,
He doesn't make goods or evil.
In fact,
we do that.
In fact, the Rambam says that because the Rambam holds, I mean, a lot of things occur in the world because of their natural order. It's not everything
right.
God is determining
right.
every event, right? God doesn't mean to say that God determines every event, right? But nevertheless, the Torah will describe it. In other words, the Torah will sometimes describe things as though God is doing it, when in fact it's a wind or it's a storm. It's God. Why? He says because God is ultimately responsible. God set up the laws of
the
nature.
Physics and nature.
So it doesn't mean that in this particular incident he's causing this hurricane because he wants to wipe out that city. It doesn't mean that. But when that happens because of the laws of nature, so the Torah will attribute it to God because he's the cause. Now, what about when man does something? So... often the Torah, not always, but the Torah will also describe that, you know, this army came and did something as though God did it. Okay, as though, even though God didn't do it personally, God did, an army did it. And it's not necessarily that God sent the army. So it means why? Because even though man acted with his free will, but again, it's God who's ultimately responsible for setting up a being who does act with his free will and does such and such. In that sense, but in the sense of moral responsibility, this is a big, big yesod of Judaism, that man has moral responsibility. That's a part of the creation. We have moral responsibility. That's a very significant theme on Tisha B'Av. Because we're also reading about the evil of mankind, of the not just the Romans, throughout history, all the various... So I'll just finish the point.
I was going to turn to you.
And that is that man has absolute free will, and because he has, that doesn't come from God. God did not decide you should be a tzaddik or he should be a rasha. That's you. And my yisoni nodem chayit. Since that's the case, what should you be? This is what you gever al chatayev. I mean, you have the ability to create. Not only that you had free will in terms of your original basic choice, but even, that's another side to it, even having made that choice and assuming you did the wrong choice, you can do tshuva. Gever al chatayev. That's another yisod of Judaism, is that man can do tshuva. That's it. Again, that's so much stuff. That's why the Rav, the Kriyas HaTorah of today is how does it start again?
Ki Sered Bar Mevanim.
So he goes through. By the way, this is a Hebrew version. Bach Osifka is fantastic. I really got a lot out of it.
Really?
I didn't finish it, but it's, the fact that it's in Hebrew was very good for me, because it's not an easy Hebrew, but I could see that I was able to figure it out. And I have the book, The Lord is Righteous in All His Ways, in English, and I've read through it over the years. He still has other things that aren't in that book, so I definitely recommend it. And he said, because originally the parsha for Tisha B'Av was Shlach, the story of the miracle.
Right.
Because that's
right,
where it goes. Right. They changed it. And basically, because that really is a gloomy story. It ends with without Nechama. It ends with they're going to be in the Midbar, the decree. And Banam Atam, he says, is the theme of tshuva. That whenever you do tshuva, Hashem will accept it. Okay, what do you want to say?
So no, I'm just saying from that point of view, in other words, God doesn't contain evils, but in some, so you'll say, okay, it's a law of nature. Say, since it's Tisha B'Av, talking about the Shoah, which is close to our hearts now. Hitler had a plan, he wants to destroy the Jews. He had his own plan, it came out of his own, whatever it was. He made the thing. But God allowed that. He didn't turn, now how did that, what was the mechanism there? Or God said, this has to be done. Is it? I remember you once said the cause of the thing is Hester Ponem. Like, in other words,
yeah,
God
intend,
turned his
by the way, I intend to come to that theme.
Okay,
let's hold off on that. Okay.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, thank you very much. Okay, so for today, I wanted to start by asking two questions, I think, two major questions. And we'll sort of frame the areas that I will take up today. The first question is, they're very basic kind of questions. The first question is that it has to do with the difficulty. I think we all have a difficulty in the Holocaust, okay? And not just that, the theme of the kinos and everything, is we can't absorb this. No, this is even before the Holocaust. The sufferings which the Jews have gone through are not normal, are understandable. They are extreme in the extreme. You have even in the kinos, what Titus came into the Beis Hamikdash, into the Holy of Holies, went to Zon with a prostitute and so on, and all the degradations. And connected to that, you have the story of the 400 youth that were carted off. And they realized that they were being carted off for znus, for promiscuity. And then they had a whole question. Can we commit suicide? And they committed suicide. So, and throughout history, when the sufferings of the Jews were not ordinary sufferings, not ordinary. Let's say someone was to write the history of this period of time. So we have Corona, the Maka, the Nagif of Corona. All right, so it's I mean, a lot of death. There's a lot of sicknesses. There's a lot of disruption, economic disruption. It's a like the Depression is not a happy story. Yeah, but I don't think that would compare in any sense. It's not like the end of the world. It's something that, by and large, society is able to cope with. And so I don't think you would have that element of extremism like you have it. Certainly, I mean, the Crusades and the Inquisitions and the Khmelnytsky killed like half a million people. And that's before. That's a lot even in contemporary times. That's a lot even in contemporary times. But in those days, boy, you have to have an insatiable... What do you want?
A pen.
You have to have... use it, but it's a fine pen. Do you want regular paper?
No.
Are you serious?
No,
what are you writing on a napkin over there?
I'm writing.
Oh. Okay.
I'm just doing notes. I mean, I hear what you're saying. I'm just saying.
We have to abstain from food and the five inui, but not from paper. Not from writing notes on paper. On a legitimate piece of paper. Okay. But what strikes us is that it's just too much. In other words, we accept Schar V'Onesh. We accept that. Okay? And we accept that we sin and we deserve to be punished. But we assume, Mida Keneged Mida, that the punishment is there's some type of a balance over there, right? But like anything else, there's such a thing as a really extreme, cruel and unusual kind of punishment. Okay, and Judaism doesn't hide from that. That's part of the Eicha thing, right? If a kid was really hungry and then he stole a piece of candy, you have to punish him. But if someone chopped his hand off, we say, what are you out of your mind? I mean, what kind of thing is this? I would say that that's kind of a good representation of the kind, you go to the Holocaust. I mean, what? Not just the amounts, but the
means.
The means, the sadism. The children, the Rav talks about that. They target, they had a certain delight in smashing the heads of children and the like. The Rav writes about it, okay. Of course, he goes to the kinos, the Rav. So he wants to show you that these things didn't just happen then. And he cites a lot of examples that his cousin, I think it was the daughter of, I don't know, granddaughter of some relative. At the time of in the beginning of the Holocaust, and got married to this guy. He knew the guy. The guy was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, you know. And during the Sheva Brachas, the week of the Sheva Brachas, they came, the Nazis, and they grabbed them, the bride and groom, and they tied to a car, one car, and they mamish tore them apart. He says he writes about the rabbi, he knows for a fact, because it's his own cousin. That's just a glimmer of and this is in the concentration camps and so on and so forth. So I think that is a major problem. Okay, now, so it's hard to accept. But it's contradictory, there's an ambivalence, because on the other hand, God is depicted as Racham Acharon. That's the essence. And that's when David HaMelech sinned and he had to have a punishment for Klal Yisrael. So God gave him three choices, right? One was a famine, one was a war, and the other one was a plague. So David chose the plague. Why? We say it in Tachanun every day. Nifla Nabi Yad Hashem. Let me fall into the hands of... Keep Rabban Racham up. Because his mercies are great. We had Adam al Apollo. And now let me not fall into the hands of man. Why? Because Hashem, Hashem, Kel Racham Achan, Erachapayim, Rav Chesed. I mean, the way it's presented is that not just Hashem is Mida Keneged Mida, which is justice, but complete with Rachamim and Erachapayim and so forth. How do you justify, so to speak? How are we to look at a thing like that? The Rav says something similar over here. Just give me a second. He says, He says, I'll be coming back to this later. He says, it wasn't an Onish. He says, Ze Eino Onish.
What's that?
In other words, because he raises the question. He raises the question of why is it, Moshe says, I did that today's Torah reading. I call the heavens and the earth. Okay?
Oh, yeah, right.
So I'll explain it more. I'm just referring to it now. Why he says that. He says it has to be that way. Okay? Because if it didn't, I might think that the Golos was an Onish from God because of their sins of Arzara and destroying the mitzvahs of the Torah. But Rama, Golos Meretz Yisrael, ain't an Onish. The Golos from Eretz Yisrael is not an Onish. He'll explain. I'll come back to this. I'm just telling you, because he says, if it were, I'm skipping the in between parts, he says, if it were an Onish, then we would take comfort in the fact Shakarish Baruch Hu Hamanish Hamanishenu, that God is the one who's punishing us. If it's an Onish, that's good, because that means God is punishing us. V'hu Rav Chesed V'Rachman Yamtin Ad L'Rego HaAcharon Shema Nachso B'Tshuva. Okay, but he's saying that Moshe over here is warning the people that it's not. This is not. What is it? We'll come back to it.
Although we say in Musa, "Mibnei Chatoenu Galinu Mi'Arzeinu."
Yes, yeah, I have to explain that. I'll try and put all that together. "Mibnei Chatoenu Galinu Mi'Arzeinu." Remind me to explain this. Does not mean that it's an onesh. In a sense, maybe in a sense, but it doesn't mean. If you understand what you mean by an onesh, doesn't mean "Mibnei Chatoenu Galinu" is correct. But that's not to say that it's an onus.
It's an outcome. It's a natural progression.
It's caused by faith. That's 100%. Someone says there's no connection whatsoever between our faith and our, you know, destiny, whatever happens to us, that's kfira, obviously. We do believe. So if the Jews did mitzvot, did tshuva, etc., then the golos could never have happened. But that doesn't mean to say it was an onish. Okay? We'll get back to this point. So that's my first question. How do we, and already we're sort of like already in the ballpark of how we're going to reconcile the extreme, extreme sufferings of the Jews, to which seem to be lacking any element of Rachmanos. Mm-hmm. Okay, not just that they killed 6 million. Makas Bechoros. Makas Bechoros wasn't the Holocaust. They all died, but they died quickly. They died instantly, and that was it. No one dragged them through suffering and endless suffering. Okay. That's not the way it was. It wasn't just the amount of people that died. It's the extreme suffering.
Echa
mentioned that. That's a hard thing. That's a hard thing. I'm saying, have we to understand it? Have we to deal with it? And also, how does it fit in with the idea that God is Mali Rachman? That's my first question that I wanted to take up. Now let me state the second question. Okay. Yeah. That question is that there were two occasions when Hashem decided that the Jews should be destroyed. Two occasions, right? And one was the Cheder Ego. And the other one was the Chet HaMeraglim, where God told Moshe, that's it, this experiment didn't work out. I'm just using ordinary language. And we're going to start, we're going to get rid of the Jewish people. We'll start a new one out of you. You'll be the former patriarch, whatever. Now, in both cases, Moshe used the Taina. He had a Taina. And the Taina was Loma Yomer Mitzrayim. Why should the Mitzrayim really represent the world? Because of the fact that if you go ahead and do that according to your plan, and Moshe wasn't really questioning that it's not just. Okay, Moshe was not disputing that, but he was saying that if you go ahead with your plan, it's going to be misinterpreted. Because the world is going to see, and they're not going to say that this makes sense, that this, they're going to say that God couldn't finish the job. They're going to, Mibli Yecholos Hashem, God lacked the power to bring them into the land, and because he couldn't do so, he decided to get rid of them, rather than have to admit, so to speak. I mean, it's all so to speak. that he couldn't do it. So what was the taina really? Oh, who really cares what the world is going to say? Well, who cares? Apparently Hashem cares. Hashem cares because essentially what Moshe was arguing is that it's going to bring about, your plan is going to bring about a chilul Hashem.
Right.
And that Moshe knows that you can't abide. God can't abide chilul Hashem, so to speak. So that argument wins the day. In other words, God is going to rescind that punishment, that plan, whatever it was, to destroy the Jews, because if it's going to be misinterpreted, then it's going to lead to a chilul Hashem, so he's not going to do it. So my question is, what about the Churban? The Churban was the biggest, the olden nation. We're talking about they left, especially there's a whole Kina number 20, which the Rav interprets to mean, you want to take a look at it?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, I'm not going to do the whole Kina. We both have the same Kina, so I have in this week's Dvar Torah, it's my post to Shabbat Dvar Torah, I quote the section.
Page 407.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, he starts counting the kinos, and then...
Yeah, take a look. Take a look at... 407.
How does it start? What are the words?
Page 411. Yeah, Hatei Elokai Oznecha. Levoza Umalegas. Incline your ear, my God, to those who taunt and mock. Okay? Note the sarcasm here. One second, I'm sorry. Go up one paragraph, right above that. Mishtachetes at kisachod. Those who boast even against your throne.
Which way is that one? Is that which one? The same keynote, you say?
Same keynote, right on page 411. In fact, I'm sorry. Go up a little bit more. One more paragraph.
I got 4.7. Oh, you got a different version.
No, 4.11.
Oh,
we have the same version.
Look at the commentary. I'm sorry.
Commentary.
Sorry. Okay, yeah. Okay, sorry.
This is the Rav. Page 411. He says, to he who proclaims, I am, and there is none but me, quote, upon your desolate sanctuary. These concluding stanzas of the Kina constitute a rendition of the blasphemy of the church vis-a-vis the Jews. This Kina addresses Christian Rome, not ancient Rome. Next one, those who boast even against your throne. The intent here is that the church is insolent. The Kina refers to the theme that God has abandoned the Jews, which was first developed by Justin Martyr in the second century and became a permanent motif of Christian theology. It is the common argument of the Christians against the Jews. Next, incline your ear, my God, to those who taunt and mock. Note the sarcasm here. This refers to those who treat the Jewish people with contempt and ridicule their expectations and hopes. Why hope? They say, they taunt the Jews. Why do you hope for the restoration? Rabbi Eliezer HaKalia recounts how the enemies of the Jews used to ridicule the Jews and say, what are you hoping for? For what will never be rebuilt? This portrays the arrogant Christian argument that the Beis HaMikdash will never be restored, that God has left the Jews and is now with the Christians. The basic opposition of the Christians to the State of Israel and to the fact that the Jews have returned to Israel is not based on anti-Semitism. Mm-hmm. The reasons for such opposition is that the existence of the State of Israel and the Jewish presence in the land of Israel contradict the essential Christian dogma. Yeah. That the Jew has lost his right to the land. Mm. This dogma was developed by Justin Martyr and remains central to the theology of the Catholic Church to this day. The fact that Jews control any portion, no matter how small, of the land of Israel is contrary to basic Christian theology.
It's a little outdated for me.
It's still around. It's still around. Seriously.
Change.
I'm not saying it's... No, because you have the Catholic Church... Change it officially, but that doesn't necessarily filter down to all the various churches and
what's the difference between the Christian kfirah and the Muslim kfirah? So the Christian kfirah is the fact that Jews have any sense of sovereignty would be a steerer to the rejection the theory that the Jews have been rejected. So therefore, the existence of the State of Israel is a standing steerer to the Etzem. Right. The Muslims have a similar idea.
Right.
Yeah, but there's a difference, though. What do they say? It's a din and kibush. Once we had it, it's ours.
Forever.
Forever.
Okay.
But
no, but it bothers them. They want control. They want practical control. Are you kidding?
They say wherever they are. That's why you got the. That's why the Iranis, for instance, have this mushagas. We've got to go back to the time of the 12th Imam.
Right.
Because any place where they conquered, it's got to revert to them eventually.
Is that the same that theory means, or there's a different...
That's the same underlying idea. I think it's the underlying idea is the same. Because whoever controls the land, that's the one who God chose. I mean, that's like the proof. That's what the Rambam says. The Rambam says at the end of the Mishneh Torah that the ultimate proof will be... in fact, he says God allowed Christianity to, you know, and Islam, because indirectly, not that it's a good thing, indirectly they helped the cause, because they spread the idea of Mashiach throughout the entire world. But each religion interprets it his way. Okay, and they're all waiting for the Mashiach. So when Mashiach actually comes, okay, and they see what the truth is, then they'll say, Sheker Nachlo Avoseim, that they received Sheker from there. Okay, but for the time being, yeah, they want the Jews being on the Temple Mount, that's a refutation of Muslims. The Muslims, they're the ones, their mount. So they want to kick us out of there. That's why they don't want Jews even praying there. Then why do they care if we, you know, we split the time? They get some time, they do their thing up there. So why does it bother you? So we go over there. They couldn't prevent us, I guess. They couldn't prevent us from having any right to go up there. But any act of prayer, even mumbling a bracha, is an expression of the fact that this is our place. That God, and ultimately, it's God chose us. Who did God choose? Okay. So my question is, therefore, if this is all Chilul Hashem, and Moshe's taina was, you can't punish the Jews in a manner which would cause a Chilul Hashem. So then how does God allow this? What's going on? How do we understand? Those are the two. How are we to understand this phenomenon? Okay? Okay, so you got my two questions now. And we shall proceed, hopefully. Let me see. Give me a second.
Is there a time frame to Chilul Hashem?
What do you mean?
In other words, a Chilul Hashem has gone on for 2,000 years since the Chum Beis HaMikdash, right? So, I mean, in the Mitzrayim thing, that Chilul Hashem, okay, so the Chilul Hashem was like for 40 years, it took the Jews 40 years to get out of the desert.
Right.
So that Chilul Hashem only lasted 40 years. However, in terms of the Chilul Hashem of our time, since the destruction, that Chilul Hashem has been going on. In other words, is there a shear of Chilul Hashem which said God says, all right, enough is enough.
All right, we're going to take that up also. Yecheskel. I think we'll take it up in Yecheskel, okay?
Okay.
I think we have a long day ahead of us. I hope everybody's okay.
Huh? Hopefully not as long as the 2,000 years.
That's pretty much it. I feel confident. Okay, so I wanted to take up the first question, right? And get back to what we said before. I just alluded to it before. The Rav's idea about why today's one of the reasons, he has a number of reasons. He goes through, so I know the benefit of this, he goes through the headings of today's Kriyas HaTorah. And it is Pirush. Okay. So in the book of Bach Osifka, which is by the Rav, I mean, he didn't write the book, but, you know, the scholars have put together his Shiurim and Tisha B'Av and all these in Yonim. And this is the Hebrew version. So it's on page 50. And he goes through the choice of the Torah reading today.
Write it down. Bach Osifka, page
50. Hello? Ready?
Yes. Yes. No? Mitch, go ahead. Yeah, Mitch, what do you want to say?
It's very hard to hear. It's the sounds like the line is breaking up or not so clear.
I'll do my best. Is it a little better now? Hello? Can you hear me now?
Sometimes the connection.
It's
not that.
No, that part. It's fully charged. Phones. It's fully charged. Hello, Mitch?
He has to call back. The call failed. Call back.
Oh, my call failed. My call failed.
Well, but anyway, put it underneath the unravel it from the other thing. You know, just it's, an extra an inch.
Calls get dropped in Israel.
Oh, terrible!
All the time.
Horrible. Do you have Golan? Who do you have?
Now it's failing. I have these problems all the time.
But phones are much better.
I'm gonna call Mitch, because I don't know if we need. It's canceled. I don't know if we need. So quoting from the Vacho Sifka of the Rav, okay, so he's asking a question on Kisolid Bonim. So he wants to know why does he say Hazinu Hashemayim Vadabera V'sish Maharetz and Refi Lama Moshe Niskakan Le'idusam Shel Eitanei HaTeva. Why does Moshe, why is it calling forth
the
powerful forces
of
the Teva? This is today's Kriya Satara.
Okay.
Hachuva hi shalu heyed Moshe es HaKadosh Baruch Hu Atzmo al on Shem Shal Yisrael. If Moshe would have called Hashem to testify about the punishment of the Jews, hayu mishtama mikan.
That was I'm trying to get rid of Mitch.
It would have implied that the galus of Yisrael is a punishment from God. Alavodas alilim for idol worship, vafaras mitzvos haTorah, and for negating the mitzvos of the Torah. Baram hagalus me'eretz Yisrael. Eino Onesh. This is a very important idea over here.
What's the pasuk he's quoting here? Hadiyoti. Which one was the pasuk he said?
The pasuk was Hadiyoti Bechem Hayom Es Hashemayim Es Haaretz. Why does Moshe call the heavens and earth to testify against the Jews? What's the sense of that?
As opposed to
God.
Okay.
So he said that would have conveyed the impression that it's a punishment. But he's saying like this, it's not a punishment. What do you mean it's not a punishment? He says, Ha'aretz asma pashut, eni yechola lisbor l'sachotim. The land itself can't tolerate the chotim. That's a very significant
vomiting out. Right.
It's a very interesting idea, you know. Kishem she'borur legamri, sherach tzmochim hamatimim la'akolim shel ha'aretz. Only those plants that correspond to the climate of the land. Yecholim nitkayim ba. V'shelo nitan legadel be'eretz tzemach hagadel be'ezurim hasmuchim la'kotev. Kotev is the poles. I looked it up. Okay, and so on and so forth. He says, kach gam eretz Yisrael eini yecholo losseis chet v'hidoch, it can't tolerate, that's depicted openly in the Torah. That's not a Kabbalistic idea or anything like that. That's in what parsha? We read it on Yom Kippur in the afternoon, right?
Oh, it's Arias or something. It's Arias. Ray. Is it Ray? I remember it's all Ray.
Achremos.
Achremos. Was it not Ray?
I believe it's Achremos. Oh, I'm saying it's not the only place. Alti tamu b'cholela ki b'cholela nitmu ha'gayim asher ani mishalei ach mibneichem.
Vatit moharetz, va'efkod avona aleh, va'toki haaretz es yoshbeh. You pointed out.
Okay? And the Ramban has a whole thing on that. And in plain Pashut, when you read it plain Pashut, that's what it seems to be saying. That this is a special land. It's very, very sensitive to the ethical behavior of the inhabitants. In fact, I think that the Ramban, that's how he explains why Sodom and Gomorrah had to be destroyed. Not because other nations had significant sins too, but this was in the land of Eretz Israel. So therefore it had to be something along those lines. Okay? So he says, Kach gam Eretz Israel ein yechol losei schet, v'idoche es achachotem imen, it pushes the chotem from off of it. Although that doesn't happen in the case of Sodom and Amorah, they weren't vomited out, they were destroyed from above. So that seems to be, at least that's whatever. I'm not doing that Ramban now.
Maybe it changed its nature, the idea that it changed it, the whole quality of the land became changed.
As a result of the Sodom and Amorah?
Yeah. They say that's why it's, you know, it was so lush, how come we're going to the Dead Sea and it's like dead as a...
Right.
The structure as it was completely never revived. It never came back.
So he says, again, he says, Luhoy is a onesh. If this was an onesh, Hayinu Misnachem and Makach, Shekarish Baruch Hu Amani Shem. Okay, then it wouldn't be so bad. Because he said before that God's punishment is always with mercy. But it's not. It's just, he says, Vahu Rav Chesed Barachman. Okay, etc.
So therefore?
So he says, this is a metaphysical phenomenon. Ze einu onesh ela choser hat'ama metaphysi. Metaphysical factor. Okay, now...
That they've
see,
learned...
One second, though. What are we saying? It's part of nature? Is this to say that that's a natural phenomenon? Where do you see in nature that inanimate objects behave in accordance with... If you're if you plant,
you don't see it anywhere.
You don't see. I'm just saying.
Whoa.
I'm saying this phenomenon.
Yeah.
When he says it's metaphysical, is it? Would you call it nature? Would you call it a natural phenomenon? All right. So with regard to that idea, which the Rav states that the Golus is a natural phenomenon. That's why Haidosi Hashemayim V'Yaretz. Hashemayim V'Yaretz means the laws of nature. That's beautiful. He's causing the laws of nature to testify against the Jews, because in fact, this is the special character of Eretz Israel. Now the question is, I just want to try and understand it a little bit better. Okay, when you're saying it's not a punishment from God, it's just a natural. Is that what we really mean by a natural phenomenon? Like in general, in the Minhag Shel Olam. I don't think anybody, I mean, I'm sure there are people that would, but any rational person would not say that there's any connection. That is, if you study agriculture and you wait for the season and you plow and you sow the seeds and you water it, it's going to grow. That's part of the laws of nature.
Right.
And it doesn't matter whether you're a tzaddik or whether you're the worst Russia that ever lived. What difference does it make? Because one thing has nothing to do with the other. Okay? So now what is, because the laws of nature have nothing to do with metaphysics. So what are we saying now that in Eretz Yisrael it does? Well, what do you mean? It's a different reality? It's a different laws of nature? I mean, here the land itself, what are you telling me? The land itself perceives that you guys are bad people and we're not going to give forth our produce because we reckon, I mean, how does that work? How does that work? Okay. Well, in other words, it's hard to say that that's a natural process. That's all I'm saying.
The Shema, you know, you see the Shema, you know, if you behave yourself.
I understand that. Well, Stam, if you behave yourself, and so on and so forth. So that we take to mean God. God will bring about these changes, because the natural order doesn't work that way. Okay, but here he's saying, and that's true, the Rebbe is not denying that. In general, you're right, that when we say that the fate that you experience, that you suffer, is because of your deeds, so we mean that it's only because God. If there was, you know, if you can imagine, if there was no God, so then there'd be no, like Aristotle, who believes that there's a God, but he doesn't believe that God gets involved. Okay, or Einstein. So then they would scoff at this notion. The person got sick because of physical factors, not because of how he behaves. Okay, that's why in Mitzrayim, the Ramban says it was so important to demonstrate the miracles to disprove that notion that it's all chance. Okay, so I would say as follows, that it's not part of the natural order in the way we think of the natural order, okay? It's not another law of physics. It means that, and I'm giving a rough description, that aside from the creation of the physical world, and Eretz Yisrael also has the physical, I mean, it's physical, it's soil, you plant, I mean, Arabs will plant there and it'll grow. But in addition, there's another principle that supersedes that, okay, that God also implanted. It's like another creation. God implanted something that when the Jewish people sin, or, you know, not just the Jews apparently, according to Ramban, it could be whoever dwells there, which is very, very interesting. I just thought of this. That is because, you know, it's another haftacha from Hashem, v'ha'aretz tiyash mama, that the land would be desolate. In other words, all the years that you're out of the land, it's going to be desolate. It won't give the other occupiers its produce. That could be based on this, because they're mushchasim, they're corrupt, they're morally corrupt, so then it's not going to give forth its fruits at all. This is a very significant factor. And then the Jews came back and they built it up. So, I mean, like, it's, you know, it's a hitam hate. It verifies the nevuah. So I'm saying like this, in this sense, again, it's a rough description, but in this sense, just like the question about the dog, right? Vayaman Elokim dog, the one that swallowed Yonah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Where is that coming from? Is that one of those fish that are out there? Was that a miracle? Or no, Chazal say that God prepared that
fish
in the Raya Sheshimed Rishon.
Yeah.
Or is it Erev Shabbos? One of the things, Erev Shabbos.
Right.
Erev Shabbos and Chashecha. That it's a special creation of God, which was programmed by God to, because God knows the future, which was programmed by God to
appear on that
to appear at that particular time. So then it's not really a miracle, it's part of the creation. So I tend to view this in the same light, that part of the creation, God designed another factor in Eretz Yisrael.
Wow.
There's another factor there, but it comes from God, because I don't see that the natural order does not discriminate good people from bad people. So there's another natural order, and the natural order is blind, but it comes from God. But God incorporated it. God incorporated it that when you will behave in a certain way, it'll turn against you in the same way that the dog came, the whale, whatever you want to call it, came along
same
as well. That's how I understand it, to make it easier. But that's not an onesh. See, we got to be very specific with the terms over here. An onesh, that's something you violated the laws of nature over here. That's it. Okay? That's a different situation. But as opposed to God, where according, onesh means where according to the laws of nature, nothing would have happened to you. Okay? You, a person robs, steals,
right,
harms, is that... If you're organized, whatever, you're a gangster, you're a criminal, you're a mafia, not everyone gets caught. You know, you can be Masudar and you can be very successful. But except if God says, no, I'm gonna punish you. So God rearranges things, and that's an onesh. That's an onesh. That's when we say that if it's an onesh of Hashem, then it's filled with mercy. That's when David said, Niflana, I don't want to fall into the hands of man. But that's an onesh too. But that's an onesh too. No, because maybe, but if God says the onesh is, you're going to be taken over, you're going to be conquered by that people, that's it. If that people is wicked, God's not going to step in and say, no, you're hitting him too hard. No, that's I don't want to fall into the hands of man, you see? But what emerges from this is that we said there's a stira between God's midah of Rachamim, and the extreme sufferings that we've had, which seem to contradict. There's no mercy in all these afflictions. But that's where I wanted to say that there's another, which I've said before, okay? And that's the idea that the worst punishment of all is Hester Panim. The worst punishment of all. And there's a different, that's an onesh, but it's a different kind of an onesh. What does it mean? It means that God withdraws his attention from you. That, I think, take a look at the Tochacha. Well, what's the Tochacha telling us? Why don't people ask the question when you're reading the Tochacha? This is going to happen and that's going to happen, and women are going to boil their children, delicate women are going to eat their children. What? Why don't people get up and walk out and create a Torah? What kind of thing is this? It seems so. And Gam Kol Choli, every or that isn't written, even if it's not written in this book, it's going to go other stuff. In other words, this is not exhaustive.
Right.
It doesn't exhaust the full gamut of sufferings. There's more sufferings, and we found out that there were, because it's alluding to the fact that there's technologies will develop and so on and so forth. God knows
goodness,
that, but God doesn't spell out every particular. So or many of these technologies will be used for evil, mm-hmm. for evil purposes. And, you know, after that, the Torah is, I think the Torah is telling us that all bets are off. That is to say, don't be surprised. The phenomenon of a Holocaust is not nimna. It's not something which can't happen. Given the scope, given the nature of the reality that God has created, because you say, well, one second, is there any limit? There's no goal. No, nobody would have believed the Holocaust. In fact, people didn't believe the Holocaust. Many people didn't believe the Holocaust, Jews themselves, because they thought it's impossible.
Right.
How could it be? It's just impossible.
Yes.
So you say, look, there's mean people, wicked people, good people, kind people, but there's limits. Even a mean guy is not going to take a kid, throw him in the air, and put a bayonet for no reason. So we would have thought, I think there's a big eye-opener over here, because people, especially good people, moral people, are naive. We thought that there is a limit to the evil that can happen in this world. And I think the Tochacha and history and the Holocaust is saying, there's no limit. There's no limit in the world of man. Now you see, even you see these animal programs on TV, you know, about the predators and the Nebuch, the poor
deer, gazelle,
the targets, they're so sweet and kind. What,
right.
You know, and then you curl the predator,
the hyena,
and the prey, the predator and the hyena is really terrible.
They're nasty. Right.
They fight.
And ugly too.
They fight against the lions for their. They want to steal their prey from them.
It's something else.
They're very, but the thing is like that. They're very limited. They're not evil because they essentially are only doing it to eat.
Right.
But not to practice cruelty. They don't have any glee. But man is different. The cruelty is man. The sadism of man, and the need to dominate, to compete, and to put down others, and to proclaim himself. That's Amalek, essentially. It knows no bounds. They were never satiated of blood. Was it Ashkir Chitzai Midam? But they were never. They could never get say. What strikes you when you read about the Holocaust? I mean, that's the calamity we're familiar with. Is that it's never day in, day out. They never get tired. They never get tired. Everything, every opportunity to just to torture a Jew. Just to torture a Jew for no reason. From the smallest thing to the... I'm just reading this book. It's an interesting book. I just started reading it. It's called Sons and Soldiers. It's about children from Germany that... one way or another, the parents managed to get them out to the United States. Okay, in the 30s.
Going.
No, Jews.
Oh, okay.
Jewish kids. Sometimes the parents were able to get out too.
Sure,
because the whole thing of it was very hard to get out.
Right.
Because the U.S., talk about today with the wall, building a wall, the U.S. laws were so restrictive against the Jews.
Yeah.
Because you had to prove that you would be able to sustain yourself. Okay, you're not going to become a drain on the public.
Right.
So if you couldn't, you didn't have a profession, so you had relatives that guaranteed. So it's a book about, I think it's like, I don't know the exact number, between 1,000 and 2,000 of these kids came over here and they went to school here, high school, whatever, and they grew up. And guess what? These kids joined the army and went back to fight against Germany.
Right.
And they were...
And they were interpreters.
They performed a lot of services that have not even been recognized to this day. Very significant services to the United States in terms of that area, decoding and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. So this guy is writing about one of the fathers who had been taken to a concentration camp, Dachau. That wasn't a killing, before the killing, but they were cruel and miserable and mean. And then they had a term, how long he asked. Then they sent out, also because the Jewish organizations had him on their list to be emigrated to the United States, so that's what the Germans wanted. So they let him get out, a bunch of guys like him. And then when he left, he was liberated from that camp, and then they had to take the train back to I forget what city they were meeting. So they put guards, some guards from the thing, Gestapo guys, went on the train with them. They couldn't leave them, and then they were exhausted from the whole thing. You know? Yeah. So the guy dozed off and he got whacked in the head. Oh, nerve, you have to fall asleep in front of me. You know, what? They were free to radio going on. Just the hachas, whatever bit you could hit a Jew, it was like a mitzvah to them. You see what I'm saying? Even though it had no purpose, yeah. They're out of the thing. So that's what I'm saying. The Holocaust is not something which is nimna. It exists. Given the realities, take a look at the 20th century. Take a look at World War I, the Depression, the reparations on Germany that the Allies placed on them, which all of these factors which gave rise to a Hitler, Yimach Shmo, and also it's not as it doesn't mean punishment. It's very you can explain it. Historians can explain it very well. And the fact that you have that coming together, you have the predator and the prey, and the Jews are there, and the Jews are completely disarmed, okay, incapable of any defense. Boom! That is the lion, that is the little gazelle, and that's it, going to tear it apart. Except there's only one thing that could save the Jews. That's their protector. So Hashem could have protected the Jews. How many times did Hitler escape death from assassination attempts? That's an amazing thing. It didn't have to be that way. God could have arranged that he wouldn't. In one case, these plotters, not because of the Jews, they wanted to get rid of Hitler because they thought he was going to destroy Germany. And they were right. Yeah, they were right. He did. Unfortunately, the world built up Germany very quickly. They had bombs on a plane that he was flying on. But whatever, it didn't, you know, didn't go off. Whatever, many attempts.
Yeah.
So it would have been very easy to get rid of him. So that's what I'm saying. That's how I understand. The pasuk says, "V'chora, v'yom Hashem Moshe, hincha shochev ma'vasecha, v'kama amazeh v'zona, achrei Elohei nechar aretz." Okay, avodah zara. It's always avodah zara. Ashehu boshama b'kirbo. Vazavani, the Hayferis Brisi. This is very, very important for us to study. Because we have to the best of our ability, try to understand what is it that brought this phenomenon of Hester Panam around about. So we don't do it again, we have to correct. The Hayferis Brisi, Ashakarati Ito, Hafaris Habris, Vachara Apibo, Bayomahu, Vazavtim. My anger will kindle against them and I'll abandon them. Vistarti Panamayam, I'll turn my face from them. Vahoyalechal, and they'll be consumed. Umitzau rose rabos vitzaros, tremendous sufferings will occur to them. The Amar Bayomahu, and they'll say on that day, "Hello, Al Kiein Elokai Bekirbi." It's because my God is not amongst me. Mitzau ni haros eila. In other words, I think it's very, very clear from the psukim that it's saying, not that God is directing this shot, that it's happening, because God has turned away from you. Okay.
So make that my question of that there, going back to the original pasuk in Echa. Mizel Mavatehi, Adonai lo tzipa, which he didn't order.
What do you mean?
So what can any person do? And no person can decide to do something. I mean, obviously not, but something big, which God does not decide upon. He decides,
well, God did
yes.
Decide. God did. No, I think you're taking it too specific. He decided. Whatever happened.
He commanded.
Hashem Tziva.
He commanded.
Yeah,
he didn't just rest upon him. Here we have a picture of Tziva. He didn't say, "Yeah, this guy wants to do this. That's what he's going to do."
No, but in this sense, I would
say that's different. I mean, there's a real end. God, in not just he turned his back, but God made sure that it would happen in the ghastly way it did. I'm not saying.
I'm saying over here the way I understand it is. God did make a decision, and the decision was, it's kind of like when, according to Rashi,
that
Moshe was nimlach. Moshe consulted with God about the miracle, and God said, "I'm not going to tell you. It's up to you. Whatever you want to do." So that was God's decision. So now it's up to Moshe. You know, you do want
to send. Sending them.
Yeah, you don't want to send, don't send. So God didn't decide to send them. God simply decided to let Moshe make the decision. I'm saying the same thing over here. That God decided that he's not going to prevent it. He's not going to prevent it. That's Esther, but he didn't. In other words, if things had happened, this is the way I understand it, if things had happened in natural order, if he didn't have Neville Chamberlain, if he had Churchill, and he decided, so then it wouldn't have happened. It wouldn't have happened. Okay? It wouldn't have happened. Because it wasn't a punishment. Okay.
That's the last thing.
So the question is being asked, is the Hester upon itself an Onesh? I'm saying, yeah. That, in fact, is the worst Onesh. A smaller Onesh, so to speak, a lesser Onesh, is the case where the specific, God sends a specific Onesh, then it's Mida connected Mida. But in Hester Panim, you have the possibility of horrendous things happening to you. Now, however, this would never, that takes us to Tisha B'Av. This would never happen if the Jews did not abandon the covenant, if the Jews did not abandon the bris. See, that's why a major kina, major, it's the theme of the day, is number 19. Lecha Hashem Tzidek Hadin. Tzidek Hadin. The whole idea is Tzidek Hadin, Lecha Hashem Hatzdakah, V'lanu Boshes Hapanim. And you have a bunch of these, lines. Be'osos Hashem Fle. It lists all of the tovos, all the things that Hashem did for us, and then it lists all of our veros. All of our veros, going back throughout history. And the idea being that we acknowledge and we recognize that this is just, that this came about, that God only wants to do good for us, so to speak, but it's our failings. Now, the whole benefit, the whole point of that is to emerge from the recitation of the horrors and so on and so forth, and to do tshuva. If, as I said at the outset, if it's just about the past, and it's just complaining and complaining and complaining, so what's the point? What have you gained? Nothing. The whole kiyum of the kinos is to recognize L'cha Hashem Hatzdaka, Tzidek Hadin, V'lanu Boshes Hapanim. That's so number 19 becomes extremely, extremely important. Now, to the best of our ability, it's a very hard undertaking. It's a very hard undertaking because every group, there's so many different Jewish groups. Each one has its own theology, its own beliefs, whether it's Misnagdim, Hasidim, and so on and so forth. And therefore, everyone looks back and blames the other one. Everyone is very capable of seeing the flaws, the shortcomings of the group that it doesn't belong to. To be able to recognize something, and it has some kind of a universal appreciation, I mean, an appreciation in the sense of understanding it, and accepting it and doing tshuva for it is no mean feat. That's the difficulty that we face. Okay? But now, see, this has become extremely important. Because the Rav has a whole piece, again, in Bacho Sifka. The Rav has a whole piece on Eicha. Eicha.
On the word.
The word Eicha. Yeah, I mean, all the kinos. Not the kinos. The Rav has a whole question. How can we say kinos? What kind of chutzpah is this? How can this? Who are we to say Eicha?
Oh, I see.
You see, that's what he takes up that question. Just give me a second. Yeah. He says that Lenochach Ason, whenever we confront a disaster, HaYehudi Omer Tzidek Hadin, U'makir B'Tzidkas Gzar Dino Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? I'm sorry. He says, "Dakinos gedushos b'she'elos uvetlunos, anu shoalim echa ha'yisakein, echa l'kadosh baruch hu l'chol azos, madua lama v'ulam kan olam tamia harifa." Here's his question: Ezus chus yesh lo adam? What right does a person have lishol es hashe'elos halalu u'lislanin, to ask these questions and to complain? V'derek klal, asur lonu lahalo she'elus ka'elu. B'chol zman acher, im chas v'sholam makya b'no ason, asur lonu l'shol eicha. Mi anu shenidrosh me'akadosh baruch hu sheyaz bilanu as pulos. Who are we to demand or request of God that He should explain to us what He does? What right do we have? Chazal say, "Eifo ha'yisa b'yas di'olam." God says, "Where were you when I established the world?" She'ele kazui chutzpah klapishmaya. This is a chutzpah towards God. Hagamara misaperish Moshe Rabbeinu tama al gorolo shel Rabbi Akiva. Moshe was complained or was concerned. Tama was shocked about what happened to Rabbi Akiva. Shenera kiddush Hashem. He was killed al kiddush Hashem. V'alkach heishiva Hakadosh Baruch Hu shesok, and God answered him, shesok, be quiet. Kach ala b'machshava lefanai. This is what came. I had this thought, so to speak. God said, no, right, you can't. That's what we say on Mincha time, right? Kilo drachechem drachayv, right? Lo machshava osai machshava osaychem. My thoughts and not your thoughts. So who are we? So the Rav has a very big question over here. He says, he goes on to develop this point, but then he says, "Hacharig hayachid lechlal hazeh, hu haason shel churban beis hamikdash." Okay, the exception. In other words, in all other cases, like Shadrach, Rabbi Akiva, this and that, they accepted the Gezeirah Din. They didn't question. Yeah, they told Rabbi Akiva. They told the Asar Harug Malchus.
Right.
I mean, it's a lot to read through.
They asked that question. No, then they said, if you ask that question, then they...
Right, so you can't ask
the
question.
I'm going to turn the whole world... Yeah, I'm
right,
turn
upside
the world
down, tohu vavohu.
Yeah, right, you're going to be... Yeah.
That's that, correct.
So they asked that question. I never understood that.
He says, Kasha Hotzio es Rabbi Akiva la'ariga, hu lo shal es
Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's a heck
of an answer. Echa.
They're crying to... What's the con? God went up and he said, you know, how could you do this? If you stop, you don't stop asking that question, I'm going to turn the world to water. So what was that answer?
I just heard my brother speak on this point about an hour ago about the Inyan of Hasbir Tolam Tohu Vavohu, that it means not like like a dafka. It means and see how everything was created and see how everything brought to. The results that you have today, and then you'll be able to understand it. Otherwise, you can't understand it. Tohu means the states where that's the beginning, and then you can see how all the chains of events and everything works out according to my chachma. Otherwise, you can't know, and you can't know that. That's God's chachma of creation.
That's correct.
I didn't quite hear what he said.
What is he saying?
I think he's saying that. I mean, these are matters that are simply
beyond
us. You don't know all the factors that determine creation and the world to exist and so on and so forth. Okay?
But the idea of the
question... So why did he answer that by the Churban HaBayis?
What?
I didn't say shut up.
No, by the Churban HaBayis, he says this is different. Hold on, let's continue. No, the Rav says it's an exception. The only time we're permitted to sort of complain and to say Eicha is by the Churban, okay? B'mizgeres, amiras akinos, anu omrim dvarim, she'ein lanu kol schus la'omram b'yamim k'tikunam. In other words, it was saying something, but this is an exception. Normally, we wouldn't have the right. Umnam, v'masecha sofrim nichtav she'yesh levarach v'tishavav baruch dayan ha'emes, k'fi she'anu nohagim b'chol ason, b'ram, v'tishavav anu gam, Rashayim lasos es hanesar oleinu b'shar yimos hashana v'hu lishol esheilas eicha. Okay, one second. He says we have permission to ask the question of eicha. Kasher anu misablim k'dibay al churban Yerushalayim beis hamikdash hutar lishol lama umadua v'chein anu achein osin bikinos b'tishabav einenu omrim tachnun uvidui yom zem mukdash lamiras kinos v'lomar kinos Pirusha lishol eicha, biyomze anu rashayim lishol. Yeser al kain anu chayavim lasos kain. Okay, continuing. So he says, on Tisha B'Av we are obligated to ask these questions. We'll try and come up with something. Just bear with me here. Madua Tisha B'Av shona. Madua biyomze mutalanu lasos davash neser alin mechol yom acher. Okay, why is it permitted on Tisha B'Av? Teshuvah hi she'anu nismachem al ha'takdim she'kavah Yirmiyahu. We rely upon
precedence.
The precedent that was established by Yirmiyahu.
By whom?
By Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu.
Kosav
Sefer Shalom B'Tanach. Hashem Poseach B'She'ela Eicha. Sefer Eicha Einenu Meshamesh Hakdama Omavo Lekinos. Kriyaso he Amiras Lekinos Atzman. In other words, now you see the connection between Eicha, the Book of Eicha, and the Kinos. Chazal lo dibru al Megillas Eicha. Chazal did not refer to it as Megillas Eicha, ela al Megillas Kinos. Lo sefer Kinos. Megillas Eicha hi sefer ha-Kinos harishon. That's the first. Lula kasav Yirmiyahu baruch hakodesh and sefer Eicha. Had he not written it, hayinu menuim milahalos shelezo. We could not ask this question. Therefore, before we read the Kinos, we read the book of
Eicha.
Say Eicha. Okay. So then he said that there were communities that read it in the morning too, but they read it. They would say the Kinos. Then there was
the idea. That's the reason why it's called Megillas Eicha.
Yeah. Because it's a matir.
Because you have to ask that question. Is that what he's saying?
Yeah.
We have to ask that question. It's full of whys, whys, whys. How could?
Okay. Now I wanted to add to this a little bit. To see if we can understand it perhaps a little bit better. You see, if I'm operating with this idea that it wasn't a specific onesh, what happened with the Churban, and the Rav is saying that it was an expression of Losaki Aretz Eschem, and I'm extending it to the idea it's not just the Churban, it's the subsequent sufferings of the Jews and up to and including the Holocaust, which I'm saying has because of Hester Panim. Okay? So the thing is like this. I said before, we say, because of our sins, God drove us out. Which is true. In other words, the idea over here is that even though it's Hester Panim and it has to do with the nations and what they did to the Jews, but the Chashem Atzdaka. In other words, we have to realize that it's our sins that are responsible for it. Because this doesn't happen. The very Hester Panim is a result of sin. The very Hester Panim is a result of sin. So that's why we have to go through the Eicha to bring up the thing. That's why it's necessary. You can be complaining and all that. But unless you acknowledge the seriousness of it, the full extent of it, you're not going to do tshuva. In other words, like this, by acknowledging the horrendous nature of what has happened, and combining that with the chiyuv of Echa Hashem Atzdakah. In other words, the natural thing is to ask God, like, why? Yeah, you have permission to ask why. Why? Because what's the answer? Echa Hashem Atzdakah. In other words, the whole point of that, to give you the permission to ask, is because of how important it is to get that answer, the recognition of Lecha Hashem Atzdakah Melon Rosh Hashanah. If you didn't ask these questions, then, that's the end of that. You still believe you're a tzaddik. You didn't have anything. But as a result of recounting, I'm suggesting, permission is, of course, you have to have Yirmiyahu. I'm not denying that. But he set the standard. He paved the way. So once you have Yirmiyahu, and you have a right now, and everybody is upset. How could this? When you come into that parsha of Eicha, now I got you. Because, okay, you're right, you have a very good question. You want to know what the answer is? L'cha Hashem Atzlaka. L'cha Hashem Atzlaka v'manu poshes upon him, and then you list, oh my God, having recognized the full extent of the horror of the evil, and it's because of your sins, now maybe you'll do tshuva. I would say that Eicha, as we said at the outset, the kiyum of the entire thing is that the guy should do tshuva. The nation, it's not just one guy.
But the flip side, the Eicha story is L'cha Hashem Hatzdaka. So, but now you're saying that this is transferred. We now have a heter, even in terms of the Holocaust, to ask Eicha.
Right.
The answer is the Chol Hashem Atzdaka.
Right.
But where, we don't have a Nabi to tell us what is the flip side. I mean, what did these millions of kids do? And what was the such a horrendous thing that the Jews did in the 20th century to cause it?
Well, oh, that's not the question. That's not the, I don't think it works out. In other words, like this. I mean, it's not so pushy, but that's what the Torah says also. That if you will, that if the Jews were to recognize this sincerely and honestly, that ultimately it's because we abandoned God, and then we would authorize the biggest chachamim to find the truth, then we'd be much closer. Hashem would help us too. We'd discover what the true thing. The point is that the question is it that we don't really want to see? As I said before, they have the phenomenon that these guys accuse these guys, and the other one accuses that, and we're not on that level that we're really honestly searching for the truth, I think. And that's something that has to be ordained. That's part of tshuva. And we have to, if we say, look, we're ready to accept the truth, come what may, let the chips fall where they may, then I think we're in better shape.
So if this...
You're not going to know the specifics, though. I don't think you can know why these... That's part of the hastapanim. That's part of what happened, okay? But we're only interested in what are the sins. See, I think this is a very important point to make, and that is we're not interested in finding the answers. What sin caused this particular event, that particular? No, the question, because the big thing is the hastapanim. What are the sins that we did, and what are the false understandings that we got steeped up in, the false approaches to Judaism that led to the hastapanim, and that will change our ways. And then you want to terminate the hastapanim. The whole goal, in my opinion, the whole goal over here is the recognition of the seriousness of hastapanim and the terrible, terrible consequences, which even now with the state of Israel, there's still, it's not, you still have terrorism and fire and this, and why, how many Israelis lost their lives because of terrorism breaking into a yeshuv and so on and so forth, horrible, horrible things. So that's all of that is Hester Putnam. These are good kids. We're not saying that these kids deserved what they got. I mean, for sins, that doesn't make sense. But our goal should be, and that should be the focus, the goal should be to bring an end to that, not Mashiach, although the two are interconnected. But the way it is, oh, we're going to bring Mashiach. That, to me, is not the correct inspiration. The goal should be to end the hastapanim, to once again become the nation of Hashem, that Hashem should be with us, and the Ashkacha should manifest itself in the safety in the land. You know, like, you don't have to worry all these rockets coming from here and so on and so forth. So we have the land and all of that, and that's good. I'm not saying it's good, and we have the ability to defend ourselves, but we're still subject to a lot of these kinds of sufferings. And this little, the Iranians are trying to get the bomb and this and that. I mean, we haven't ended, in my opinion. Mm. Maybe they look. I don't know if it's an all or nothing with Hester Putnam, okay? Because maybe you could say the fact that we have the land itself is diminishing. But it's not the removal, in other words.
No.
It's not the removal, it's still there.
It's still
there. And our goal should be, we want to be the people of Hashem. We want to return to Hashem. We want Hashem to be our God. Of course he's our God, but to the manifestation, Lama Yomu Hagayim. In other words, even now, there's been a change. There's been an increase in respect ever since the Jews returned. And then, you know, you have this phenomenon of the Christian evangelicals that seeing that a return and so on and so forth. But there's a long way to go. And I'm saying, perhaps, this is the Eicha. Eicha is justified because it leads to L'cha Hashem Atzdaka. And it's the only way. The only thing that's going to arouse the Jews to do tshuva is the recognition of how horrendous this is in conjunction with the fact that our sins have brought it about. This is, in point of fact, this is what your sins can do.
Well, you say, though, then it's a double-edged sword. Because on one hand, the state of Israel is some type of divine intervention. Most people would say this is supernatural, or anybody with faith would have to say that this is the Yad Hashem. But this in no way seems to have facilitated an attempt of recognition of the Ho Hashem Hatzdaka. In other words,
there were no Baal Tshuvas as a result of the Shoah. That's the truth. What you said.
If you look at it in general terms, okay, because it's a short period of time. In historical terms, it has. I mean, these things have had an effect. There has been a tshuva movement. There's been a resurgence of Torah in Israel. I mean, yeshivas and so on.
There's
and so
a
bunch of
movement stopped before.
I don't know where it's going to end. But you do have people here writing Sfar thinking about these matters and so on and so forth. And you have students that study Torah and serve in the army, etc. These things take time. It's like it's
a... if you'd ask the Israeli or the Stam Jew what happened since the Holocaust, the basic point is God is in the background in the popular imagination. And is that the Jews, rather than becoming passive in terms of history, have decided to take a part in to take an active part, and to use their brains in terms of not only Taya, but in terms of survival. And that idea was to bring it down to basic things, like to figure out how to use a gun, to figure out how to create a state.
So that's a good thing. That's good. That shows.
So
that
would you say that that's part of the tshuva?
It could be. We'll see. It could be. It's a process. But that very fact, that is that. By the way, I think that's a tshuva, because the ability, the willingness to fight and defend yourself is part of it. Torah. It is part of it. No, that's a separate question that bugs me. It's a separate question. It always bugged me is why the Jews, when they were sent into the exile, they never thought in terms of any kind of self-defense. They were just patsies. They allowed themselves to... Why didn't they, have organizations just train the kids?
No, but they were ma'aminim.
Well, I mean, that's a false idea, to just believe in God without defending
yourself.
That's
only because they found out that Hitler didn't know this.
I don't mean by the time of Hitler, it was so ingrained. The Jews were so ingrained to be passive. Why at certain points in history where they could have taken the kids out once a week in the fields, just teach them basic self-defense, don't start up with anybody. But if the goyim come around and they start bullying, then you fight back. The Jews would have had a different reputation. I mean, the Jews had this reputation that they never, ever fight back. You could do whatever you want to them and get away with it. Had they, like the other groups, or gypsies, whatever, there were other groups that people didn't start up with because, they knew, don't start up with them. They'll fight back. The Jews were, everybody knows, they never thought in terms of self-defense. What's wrong with that? That's a mitzvah of the Torah. It's a Yaakov Avinu. Prepared with three things. Now that's a separate. I don't want to get involved in that. That's tangential. We can discuss that some other time.
You're asking the question basically.
I view the fact that this is a great miracle. The fact that we lived through to the time where the Jews have an army and they stand up and they defend other Jews. It's a great Kiddush Hashem. It's a great, great thing. And it's a Torah. I don't mean Stam a great thing.
So
it's a Torah thing.
Down, so I'm saying, in other words, you're saying, and so the idea that how is it possible that God said, Eicha, how they're questioning. God dishes out, and how the heck are you to question it? And so the only way you can find the answers, or what's bothering you, or whatever, or to try and explain the phenomenon, which is supposed to be a lesson anyhow, is by asking the questions. You can't find out the answer until you ask the question.
In my opinion,
all these Hasidic rebbes will say, God, you've done enough. We're suffering. Yitzchak was very famous. He used to have this conversation. Also, there's a notion. I don't know where they get the idea, have the chutzpah, because there's always a notion. There's a to and a fro in terms of the relation between God and the Kodesh Baruch Hu, between a God and a people. There was always this conversation. you know, we have a special relationship. And which, why does that preclude the fact that we're questioning what you do to us?
Right.
I'm not so sure why is that looked upon as something which is a chutzpah. I wasn't quite sure that was a chutzpah. The fact of the matter is, we always, you know, we the question of the Daniel was told, they had with Maisa, he told the story. The idea of the Tochacha, and the guy comes in after the comes to his Rebbe after the Shoah, sees the devastation, it's all over, it's ghastly, horrible. He takes his tefillin and throws it at the Rebbe, says, that's it, I'm done. So he said, I didn't read the Tochacha. Did you believe it that then?
Yeah.
Did you believe that? It's all written down there, that's what it is. And you've seen it,
it's not a crazy
thought.
It isn't. It's not a crazy thought.
Yeah.
I had a very crazy thought. You know, like after the sin of the spies, and the punishment that the Jews would have to be in the Midbar for 40 years, and that generation would be gone. It's almost like the generation of the Holocaust has to be gone before we can come to Eretz Yisrael and renew ourselves and do tshuva. It's like almost, it's like we had to be destroyed before we could come into Eretz Yisrael then. And I just had this crazy idea that we almost have to be destroyed to come to Eretz Yisrael now. I don't know. It's just a crazy idea that popped into my head.
I don't know why we'd have to be destroyed.
I don't know either.
But, we have
because
to
we sinned.
Well, that's something else.
Okay.
So then it's sin.
Right.
So then you don't need that other part about Eretz Yisrael.
No, but it's almost like a similar thought that generation had to be destroyed. And now here, during the Holocaust, this generation had to be destroyed to renew ourselves to come into Eretz Yisrael and do tshuva.
No, to get some new ideas. Right. That's also new ideas that we're going to figure out down in our hand. If nothing else, we're going to know nobody's going to play
I think they're rather saying
that's to get away from the Hashem factor.
The problem,
nobody's messing around with Jews.
Something that popped into
my head. That the problem with Eicha, I think he means that in the sense that the tzaddikim didn't complain. That's a complete amuna. Then Hashem is righteous in all his ways. And to start complaining like they did in the Midbar, to start complaining about God and testing God and so forth, that's not permitted. That's why I believe, now Eicha is on that borderline. It's like you're sort of like implying that this doesn't, it's not fair, that this is wrong, and that that you can't do. Because it's not
so
wrong.
Why did the law say that you can't talk about the Holocaust?
In what sense?
That you don't ask questions on it.
You're not supposed to question.
I don't know.
God,
did you say that?
Basically.
That you can't ask questions? It's well, what like, kind of questions? What kind of questions do you mean?
That's it. We should.
Eicha?
That's the point.
No, Eicha, you're allowed to say
that. That's it. One time of the day, every year.
Didn't like,
that's
no.
The whole point.
No,
you've
no,
got to
no.
Be asking.
The Rav didn't go for the composing new kinos.
Yeah, he didn't do
on the Holocaust. And he said, first of all, he said that many of the kinos that are applied can very easily apply to the Holocaust. There's no need for new ones. Plus, this is a very interesting thing. He didn't, you know, he's very, very diplomatic, but he says he does not believe that there's anybody around today. He says the people that wrote the kinos were people on an extremely elevated level, like the Rabbi Akalir and Yudah Levi and so forth, Vachuli. But he says he does not really think that there's anybody around today that can write new kinos or write new tfilos. And he said it's like it requires a certain sensitivity and understanding. It's like, you know, you got to be, you know, on a certain level, not just in abstract knowledge, because you have smart people, okay? I don't think he held that he could write the kinos. So, but what do you mean that he didn't, well, what do you mean? He wouldn't go into the particular averos, though. I don't think he went for that. Like you have. You do have some people that have written, it was the sin of this. I think it's a very prominent idea that the Germans, Jews, you know, Reform Judaism and so on and so forth.
Well, against the Zionists. Okay. So the Zionists are against the front people.
Like I said, look, the truth of the matter is like this. And there are plenty of sins among the from,
correct.
Plenty of sins among the Orthodox. Forget about the Holocaust. You can take a look at the Jewish world today. And you can
right.
find plenty
yeah,
of
right.
shortcomings.
Right.
What about the Arguna problem? Okay? What about corruptions where...
fiddling around, financial fiddling around.
Financial sex molesting of children,
right.
even. You find plenty of those things. Okay? Nothing's changed. I mean, maybe quantitatively, but you'll find the same thing.
Right, right.
So today, who gets condemned? I mean, this depends where you're from. If you're a chassid, it's the Misnagid's fault. If it's the... So you don't have that committee, okay? committee of Jews from the various branches, and they're going to make a serious inquiry, what exactly is wrong here, how can we correct it? Okay? That's very... The Jewish organizations, during the Holocaust, the Jewish organizations couldn't work together to save Jews. Ben Hecht describes this phenomenon. It's in his book,
Perdition.
A Child of the Century. Yeah, Perfidy, but this is, I suggest, if you have this book, it's called A Child of the Century. And it's basically a biography. It's a very lengthy book. And he was a great writer. But in the last chapter is called The Committee. It's about 100 or so pages about the last phase of his life when he was... tapped to work with the Irgun guys in America. And then he got an insight into Jewish organizational thing, and he had this idea. He wrote this play.
Yes.
Okay. I forget what it's called now. About the, you know, it was put on in Madison Square Garden.
Right, and he moved from play, he had a whole thing, right, and then right. He moved from play to show it up. Right,
depicting people. The fate of the Jews, it was very moving. That's, and all
right.
That.
It was a show. Yeah.
Now, he wanted to get together all the various Jews, ADL, and the other one, all these organizations. Okay. They should all just sign their name on the advertisement for the that's all. He wasn't asking for money or anything like that. So, the other guy... I think his name was Cook. He was one of Rabbi Cook's, one of the guys that worked out with him. He says it's a waste of time. He says, you'll see, they're not going to agree.
What's his name? Bergson.
Bergson. Yeah. Waste of time. So what are you talking about? It's not at all. So he arranges in a hotel in New York, and he gets all the organizations together. And he reads the play to them. Oh, they were crying and moving. It was like the beautiful thing. And then he said, all I'm asking you to do is to sign your name on this ad for the... And before you know it, is there going to be signs? No, I will never put my name with that. You know, he couldn't believe it. And then before you know it, the whole thing's over and there was nobody signed. And can you imagine a thing like that? If they couldn't agree to something as trivial and stupid as that, meaningless, I mean, it's not stupid, he had a purpose, but because of the pettiness, organizational pettiness was such that it would, people are dying and you can't even...
Get together.
That, you want to know where there's hate? If there's still hate and there's a need for tshuva? That's where there's a need for tshuva. Nobody talks about that. And how many times a day you daven, that has a place. But the underlying corruptions, which is exhibited in this kind of behavior, and if it prevents them from doing this, can you imagine what else?
Extrapolate out.
Yeah, extrapolate out. So.
But he says in the keynote, he says the thing. You see, he said, from the beginning, there seems to be, in the Klal Yisrael seems to be, as we were talking about on the thing about the Devarim. What kind of people they were. And there's a tremendous thing. He says, I've had enough, I can't deal with you.
Right.
And these are people, my Chazal may present these people as litigious, they're fighting, they're quarreling.
Right.
Then you see a massive lack of gratitude, because that Kima says, you know, I did this for you, I did that for you, but you couldn't come across. The question is...
Now I'm going to try and maybe shed a little light on this matter. The second question was that Moshe's taina that if you kid destroy the Jews,
right,
it'll be a chilul Hashem, and that was accepted. So why didn't that fact prevent God from the Churban, from the exile, and all the sufferings, especially the Holocaust? Because that all clearly, as we saw it in Kino number 20, and other sources that caused a great chilul Hashem. All right, so I want to take a look at the. I think that phenomenon comes up in Yecheskel, in chapter 36, starting with Tezayin. Vayidvar Hashem Eli Lemor, Ben Adam, Beis Yisrael Yoshvim Al Admasam, Vayitam Osa. This goes back to when the Jews were in the land, and I think it fits in Matim, what the Rav said. Vayitam Osa, they defiled it with their averas. V'dakam uva'aldi losam. Ketumas hanida. Ha'isa dakam lefonai. All right, so that's depicting the fact that the Jews reached a level of sinfulness, kind of like the nida. In other words, the God is saying, like, a husband has to separate from his wife when she's a nida, so that's the mashal, to the point where I have to separate from you. V'eshbo chamasi aleihem. Al adama sheshafchu al ha'aretz. Uvegilulehem timuha. Okay, so that's the two averos of Shvichas Damim and Avodah Zarah. Va'afetz osam ba'gayim, va'yizor ba'aratos, kedarkam v'chalilosam shefatitim. So God's saying, I judged them in accordance with their ways, with their sins.
Midah
k'neged midah, correct. Va'yavo v'lagayim asher bo sham. And by the way, this pasuk does seem a little bit different than the Rav. The Rav was saying it's the land spit them out. He's saying, okay, well, let's leave it. It's all right. Vayavoh el agayim asher bo'sham. They came to the goyim. They came where they came. Vayachalu Hashem kachi. So they disgraced. They desecrated my holy name. Be'amor lehem. When they said about them, Am Hashem Eila umei arzo yotzo. These people are the Am Hashem. What are they doing?
They were throwing, being thrown out.
I believe that's the Chil Hashem. They're different Mefarshim, because if they are the Am Hashem, so why aren't they in the land where they're supposed to be? Oh, so that's because they ain't Yechol as Hashem. God doesn't have the ability to. I think also the Chil is what we're talking about. How can you, the Christian thing, how can you claim to be the God's chosen people? Yeah, and you're supposed to, if you were, you'd be in the land. Elamai, they interpreted the destruction and the galus as being rejection, what they call supersession. It's because of the sin, because you rejected Jim, whatever, you know, that whole sin. Therefore, what he's saying is the fact that you claim to be the chosen people. I mean, that's also true. Even the fact that the Jews are downtrodden and they're oppressed and anybody can do whatever they want. So where's your God?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
How can you make the claim, you know, well, we're the chosen people, and so on and so forth. And Cain, how can you explain, how can you justify your current situation?
So you're not chosen anymore.
You're not chosen anymore. That's what the Christians said. You're not chosen anymore. Okay. That's why the Rav said, because when the Jews came back to the land, really, the Christians didn't want to know it. Really? You'll see it tomorrow's Dvar Torah. You'll see it tomorrow's Dvar Torah. Yeah. So then if that's the case, you lay down the premises, it was your premises, that our being outside the land shows that God rejects us. Oh, so when we come back to the land, that should show that God chose us and not you.
That's
as far as they went. They did acknowledge, they did in the encyclical, whatever it is,
yes,
the church.
The Jews
also must be as having a covenant with God.
Yes,
that
was
an ancient. One thing, so Shel Tech, if that's the case, so you're reaffirming our covenant, so then you're not the chosen people. So why don't you close down the church and whatever?
That's
a mystery. We're ready to acknowledge that the Jews are a chosen people, but we're not ready to acknowledge that, if so, we're not a chosen. They wouldn't accept the fact that they're not a chosen people. So the whole thing is, you know, kind of baloney. Anyways, so what's the problem? The problem is, you see a conundrum developing over here? The conundrum is, if you sin, then you're not worthy of the land. You got to get pushed out of the land. But if you pushed out of the land, then my name is God's name. So it's an impossibility. There's a built-in conundrum. It's essentially an impossibility. That's what he says. You're mere presence in Chutz La'aretz is a chilul. That's why I have a whole new foundation. This is new. A whole new foundation of why Jews have to move to Eretz Yisrael. But we'll have to wait for them. It emerges from this parrot. It emerges from this parrot.
It wasn't Perek.
I never
Mrs.
heard this
Mann.
Argument before. No, I never
Mrs.
heard
Mann.
Of this argument before, and that's a
no,
new argument.
Right, understand? Right, right, right. Same,
you'll
right.
see. You'll see.
Because being out of it is a chil Hashem.
You'll see.
Being out of it, right.
Ve'echmal Hashem kachi. So God said, I had mercy on my holy name, because you see from that's the time of Moshe.
2,000 years.
God cares, so to speak. And that's the whole purpose of creation, is that people should recognize Hashem. Asher chilulu beis Yisrael, b'goyim asher bo shama. Okay. L'chein amor leveis Yisrael. So now what's going to happen? In other words, I sent you out because you sinned, and now that you're out, it's a chilul Hashem, and I can't tolerate that. So how do you? It's a built-in contradiction. L'chein emor leveis Yisrael. Ko amar Hashem Elokim. Lo leman chemani yosef beis Yisrael. Kiyim l'shem kachi. Asher chilaltem bagoyim asher basam sham. In other words, what's going to happen next is not for your sake. It's not because you're the tzaddikim. It's not because you deserve it.
Right.
But I have no choice. For the sake of my holy name, I've got to. I have no choice. I have to bring you back. Okay, but then shel tzach b'kasha. Hold it a second. V'kidashti yeshmi agad.
Why'd they go on the first one?
Yeah. I will sanctify your great name. My great name, sorry. Hamachul b'gayim. That's desecrated from the God. Asher chilaltem b'socham. V'yodu ha'gayim kini Hashem. Here you see that God very much wants the Goyim to know that he's Hashem. Noam Hashem Elokim, v'kachi b'chem.
That's such a problematic statement.
L'hinam. That's the process. That's why God created the world. He wants us to recognize him. So he wants not just us. He wants the world. That's... What is that?
In
lo b'risi yomam v'layla shemayim, what?
Chos lo samti.
Yeah, God would not have created the world. That's openly stated.
Right.
So what's going to happen now? V'lakachti yeschem in agayim, v'kipatzi yeschem mikol haratzos, v'veisi yeschem al admaschem. Here you see it's being presented not because you did tshuva and you did, I'm going to bring you back, keep it's gold, it's the whole thing because you didn't do tshuva, because it's not the, because it's the Chil Hashem. My name is being desecrated every day. So now I'm going to end that. Of course, if the question is, but God brought it about in the first place, I mean, there's a certain conundrum over here. So what's going to be, so you'll ask the question, so now you're going to repeat the whole cycle over again. So now they're going to come back to the land. And
they're going to do the same old stuff.
I assume. Why would they be different? What's going to be different? In other words, it's not that they did tshuva and that's why I'm bringing them back.
Right.
Then you could say, okay, they did tshuva, they're not going to sin. But they're being brought back in spite of the fact. Okay, so then what's going to happen? So that if they sin over again, so you'll have to kick them out again. What is it, just a revolving door? It's an endless cycle?
No.
So here you have a new phenomenon. V'zarakti aleichem mayim tahorim utahartem mikol tumoseichem mikol yuleichem atar eschem. Now you have a new thing that's coming into play. I'm going to sprinkle that holy water.
Tahara.
Okay? From all of their impurities and all of their idolatries. V'nasati lechem lev chadash. I am going to give you a new heart. V'ruach hadasha etein bekirbechem. And a new spirit I will place among you. That's what we're waiting for. We're looking for that new... Spirit, Vasirosius Leva Evan, the heart of stone. Mipsarchem, I'll remove that. Vinasati Lachem Lev Basar. I'll give you a heart of flesh.
A human heart.
Okay? See, the heart of stone implies stubborn, closed. You can't get through.
Right.
It's blocked off. Okay, I'm gonna give you a listening heart. Oh, new heart, you'll listen, you'll hear, you'll understand. You're gonna become perfected people. Vias Ruchi Yete Mekirbachem. And my spirit I'll place amongst you. The Asisi Eis Hashem B'chukai Teilechu, what I shall do so that you'll walk in my statutes.
Is this talking about Yemos Mashiach?
Obviously, it's going to be, when this happens, it's got to be Mashiach.
Okay,
it's got to be Mashiach. All right? Umishpatai Tishmaru Vasisem. And you will keep my statutes, guard them and keep them. Vishaftem Ba'aretz, meaning you'll shaft them. That's where they get the idea that there'll never be another exile. You'll dwell in the land, meaning a permanent fashion. In a permanent fashion, you'll dwell in the land.
I have a question.
What?
Doesn't this imply the fact that the Jews can't really do tshuva?
Excuse me one second. V'shaftem baris, I know I saw this. The malbim. V'lo tiglu od mimena. Achashalo techeto od. Not only that, you're not going to sin, and therefore you won't be kicked out. In other words, the malbim is saying that this kibbutz goliath that it's talking about here will be, that's it. That has to be Mashiach then. What else is there? Good.
So doesn't this imply that the Jews are not capable of doing the tshuva properly?
Perhaps.
Because
maybe. Maybe. It depends
way.
How you want to read it. I would imagine, because if the Jews were going to do tshuva on their own, then...
Right, this wouldn't be necessary.
Because you're going to do it, mind Torah, he's going to do it.
Actually, like this. See, Chazal say that be'ito achishena. Okay, that there's two tachniot in terms of the geula. One is be'ito, which means that if you don't do tshuva, it's got to come to an end. And here Yecheskel apparently is providing us with the reason. That's the eschatology. That's the future. The future, the Jews have to be taken out of Golos and put back in Eretz Yisrael. But it could be it could be Be'ito. Okay? Which means it's not a good thing, because then you're going to endure. You're going to endure a Holocaust and whatever. Had the Jews done tshuva before the Holocaust, and Hashem would have brought them back, there would not have been a Holocaust. Or Achishena. Achishena means I'll hasten it. That the Chazal is saying that there's no set way that it has to come about. There is a role that Jewish action can play. If we don't do tshuva, then I think that's the version of Yechezkel. Then it's the Chilul Hashem fact. If we don't do tshuva, it's Chilul Hashem, and the Chilul Hashem eventually has to be terminated, because God was Chomel at his name, and he's going to... Okay. However, we can do tshuva. If we do tshuva, but then as I'm saying, if we did tshuva, then you wouldn't have had a Holocaust. Now the question is, but what happens? What's this? V'zarakdem aleichem mayim tahorim, in the new heart, the whole business. What does that mean? Does that mean that it won't even be a matter of free will?
Yes, you're going to create a new
Jew. That we're going to be coerced, a new Jew that doesn't have free will.
It's almost like a new creation.
It says, V'yishavtem aretz asher nasati l'avoseichem. You'll dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. V'yisem li la'am. Ah, it's beautiful. Nechama, you shall be unto me a nation. V'yanochi e'alechem le'lokim. And I shall be a God. What do you mean I shall be a God? V'hoshati eschem. That's me. I'll be a God. V'hoshati eschem. V'koltem oseichem. V'karasi es ha'dagan. El ha'dagan. V'irbesi oso. V'lo etain aleichem ra'av. And then so on. Okay? Then he goes through a few. All right, let's go through the psukim already. V'irbesi es priya ha'etz. U'tenuvas ha'sada. L'mana shalo sikruod. Cherpas ra'av v'gayim. You won't suffer any. In other words, you'll be living here in the country in a good state, abundant state. Uzchartem estarchechem haroim, and you shall remember your evil ways. Umalalechem asher lo tovim. Unekotevzam bifneichem. You shall regret all your evil. Alavonoseichem v'al toavoseichem. Now it concludes, this subject matter basically concludes, lo laman chamaniosa. Once again, not
for you.
Nu'um Hashem Elokim, Yivod Alechem, Boshu V'Kalmu Midarcheichem Beis Yisrael. Okay.
Wait.
So now the thing is like this. This is the union of Chilul Hashem that I talked about. In other words, Moshe's argument of Chilul Hashem was in conflict with another factor. Right? The other factor was that when they desecrate the land, eventually the land can't tolerate them. So you had those two things were in conflict. What that led to, and it doesn't mean to say that the argument of Chilul Hashem was totally defeated in favor of Golos, that you have to have Golos. No, it comes into play. It comes into play after they're in Golos, as it becomes the factor which causes God to terminate the Golos and bring them back. So you see, that does play a role over here. But, of course, so you have to, again, you have these two factors that are in opposition.
Can you say that again?
I'm saying the factor of preventing a Chilul Hashem is not strong enough to prevent the exile. They go into exile.
Right.
They have to go into exile.
Correct.
But it does play a role in terminating the exile.
Okay.
So it does play a role. It's not like it's gone and forgotten. But The way it works out over here is that see God's will has to be fulfilled. That is, that the world should know Him and so on and so forth. The sanctification of God's name has to occur. The Jews are the medium. The Jews are the ones through whom it should be sanctified. But if it leads to a situation where the very presence of the Jew causes the Chilul Hashem, so then the Jews do tshuva, everything's fine. We'll bring them back. If they don't do tshuva, God's going to terminate that situation. But then you have, but then, like we asked the question, so what's the guarantee that it won't happen over again and over again? That's the Vizarakti Aleichem Mayim Tahorim.
To make a new person.
Now, there's a big machlokus. What does that mean? Does that mean that the person at that point in time will have no free will? He'll
right.
automatically choose the good.
Right.
He'll automatically be a tzaddik and so on and so forth.
It won't be a person. It won't be a human being.
Yeah, that's the Ramban, though. That's the Ramban. Umol Hashem Elokeichem, Eslavavchem, Yeslav, Lo'avda.
Parshas Nitzavim.
That's the famous Ramban. Hold it a second. You know, that's a very famous Ramban.
No, I'm just saying.
Parshas Nitzavim.
Let me get the bigger print. Okay.
So that's what you do with your time.
Well, Nitzavim kind of talks about this. Mechori afagodol hazeh. I mean, he talks about this phenomenon. Okay?
Was the ultimate rule
of Hashem. B'shafta ad Hashem, this is Nitzavim Perek Lamed. B'shafta ad Hashem alakecha v'shamat b'kolo. That's what it's saying. V'ayiki yavo alecha kol advar me'ela, ha-bracha v'aklola. When all these things come upon you, the bracha and the klola, asher nasati lefanecha, v'ashe vosa el vavecha, b'chol ha-goyim, asher idicha Hashem alakecha. Shabbat, this is talking about the same situation, but there's a different, here it says, V'shafta ad Hashem alakecha. So you have one version in the Torah, it's V'shafta. You'll return. V'shamata b'kolo. K'chol asher anochi v'tzavcha yom. Atu v'necho v'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha. V'shav Hashem alakecha eshevuscha v'richavecha. That's the God will return you from your in captivity and have mercy. V'shav v'kibetzcha mikol ha'am. Asher afischa Hashem alakecha shomo. Kibbutz Golias. This, however, seems to be triggered by tshuva. This is a so. Yeah, you have this tachnit. You also have the tachnit of Yecheskel. What's the matter?
So, my problem is like this. So I'm not doing it. I don't know if I'm getting off topic, but it says I'm not doing it for you.
That's Yecheskel says it.
Right. I'm not doing it for you.
Right. Because you don't deserve it.
You don't deserve it. I'm doing it for myself. But in the whole idea that God. Chil Hashem means that he'll be looked upon with total with disdain by the rest of the world. In other words, the whole idea of Kiddush Hashem has got nothing to do with the Jewish people. It's universal. There has to be a universal acceptance by the world.
Yeah, that's how Kiddush Hashem does it.
In the world.
Yeah.
So really, but the only one who can affect that
are the Jews.
The Jews.
They're his people. So they represent them.
But well, it's always on shaky ground. The fact of the matter is, if there is an ultimate necessity of God being recognized, I can't believe that the ultimate necessity with a big N, is that God is going to be recognized by the world at large as the true God.
Yeah.
I don't give each other a verse. I'm saying if that's the case, and you're relying on Klal Yisrael to make sure that goes to that happens, then the people are we are tremendously flawed that even though we have this relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, even though he says it's the Kino 19, we were brought out of Egypt, we did this and the man and we couldn't get it. In fact, Rabbi Soloveitchik, we read that Devarim, that we've been reading that. Rabbi Soloveitchik bemoans the fact that that after all the 40 years, that the people didn't get the nature of Moshe and what he was trying to do.
Right.
Just individuals. It was just tragic.
Right.
That's why he sinned. And he couldn't see here. They were complaining to the last minute. They didn't say, oh, give us some water. Oh, heck, where are we going to get water now? You know, what? Miriam died. And where's the water? What should be ridiculous?
Okay, I'm losing the thing. What's the point then?
So he's relying. If you're saying this, I didn't do it for you. I'm doing it for him on my stand. So he's relying on the nature of the Jewish people to make sure that'll come about.
That's why.
So how the
that's our mission.
That's our mission, but
right.
it seems a very sacred gap.
Are
very
you saying there's
ground.
A machlokes between the between? Not a machlokes in the Etzem Rayo, but basically the Ramban and the Torah are talking about two circumstances. There's one circumstance. Of Be'ita, and
right,
there's another circumstance of Achishena.
Right.
Right.
So
right.
Therefore, Be'ita in the end.
Yecheskel, I think. Yeah.
Be'ita,
I think, is Yecheskel. Just in general terms,
yeah.
He's saying it's then it has to be. It's inevitable.
If the Jews don't do tshuva,
then God will effectuate.
That's the ultimate.
These circumstances right. that will
whatever
that will
be.
That's going to happen.
But if the Jews do it, I mean, that's the answer to your question. If the Jews do it, if we rise to the occasion, if we do tshuva, so then it'll be the Kiddush Hashem. Probably a bigger Kiddush Hashem. And then that's what the Torah is talking about. Yeah. But if the Jews don't, it has to happen, God is saying. Because He created the world for the sake that mankind should recognize Him, and that has to take place. Let me continue over here, though. Because we raised the question, what is the Mayim Tahorim? What is the new heart? And so on and so forth. At first glance, it does seem like you're a totally different person. Because then it says, Vaviyach Hashem l'kech al-arz, Asher Yoshua v'osecha v'yirishta, v'yitivcha v'hir b'chamaya v'osecha. Then it says, Umol Hashem l'kech es l'vavcha v'yes l'vav zarecha. L'av as Hashem l'kech v'chol l'vavcha v'chol nafshcha l'man chayecha. Now, what does this mean? This is a really wild idea. The God will the circumcision of the heart. Like, what kind of thing is that? It's a mushal, obviously. It's not taken literally. So the Ramban says, Umol Hashem l'kech es l'vavcha, Zeu she'amru, this is what they say, Havo l'tzar m'sayin oso. Someone that comes to purify himself, so God helps him. Okay, you get help in the project.
So you have to dishmar
him. Mavticha, he promises she'toshev elav, you will return to him b'chol levavcha, with all your heart, who yazer oscha, he'll help you. God's going to help you in the process of tshuva. That's another positive side. That it's not all up to us, and we may not have the powers, as you've said, but if we start the process, then God will help us. V'nir v'naksuv minyan zesh omer, it appears, from the it appears. Ki mizman habriya, from the time of creation, ha'yisa rishus b'yad ha'adam, lasos kirtzono tzadik ha'rasha. Person had rishus. Go back to the, right? Mi pi elyon lo yetzei ha'ro'os v'atovos. Right? V'chol zman ha'torah came. And throughout the time period of the Torah, that's the way it was. People had freedom. K'dei she'yi elahem schus b'vchirasam batov, so they have merit when they choose the good. V'onesh b'ritzosam b'ra, and punishment when they choose the bad. Avolimos ha'mashiach, in the time of Mashiach, which this is, I mean, what the Torah is talking about. Tiyah b'chira b'tov lohem teva, the choice of the good will be natural. Lo yitave lohem halev, the heart will not desire, l'mashe eino roy, that which is not appropriate. V'lo yachbos b'oklal, you won't want, you will not have any yearning for that which is bad for you.
You don't want free choice?
V'yamila
hanaskeres kan. No, that's not the same thing. No,
and this is the Mela. Ki achemda v'ataiva, the desire and the lust, arlo lalev, is a covering for the heart. Umo halev, and the circumcision of the heart, hu shlo yachmod, lo yisava, that they won't desire and lust. V'yoshuv, now he wants to say that there was such a time. V'yoshuv ha'adam bizmanahu, l'asher hoya kodam cheto shal adam. Man will return at that time to the state that he was in before the sin, the first sin. Harishon. Shehoya osa betivo masharoi lasos. He did by nature what was appropriate to do. V'lohoya lo birtzano dova v'hipucho. He didn't have conflict. Like one thing, like we said, we saw like a man is always in a state.
Ambivalence.
Kamosha pirashni besedi voracious. Now. We only have one further thing to consider. So the Ramban apparently is learning these psukim of Yecheskel, literally, pretty literally, right? That man will have a changed nature. So he'll be, in other words, I guess he's saying, you heard the word.
So what's the chachma?
Yeah.
So what's the chachma? And in other words, so you made somebody, you created a person who's pretty well, by nature, is going to be doing the right thing. So he won't be able to do evil. He can't, right. If he tried. It's not like, so what have you created in the end? You haven't got a creator with you. You haven't got any creator.
Okay, good question.
So you haven't tried a question?
Well, let's take a look at the, if we take a look at the Rambam, I don't think the Rambam agrees.
Oh, I see.
The Rambam, I don't believe, agrees. Because he says...
Where is this Rambam?
The Rambam is at the end of Malachim.
People. What's our schus? Because we had great forefathers. I think we're great.
Speak for yourself.
What?
Zocher chastei avot umevi goel v'nei v'neihem. So we are the beneficiaries.
Okay.
Of the fact that these three people,
excuse me,
beyond.
Al yala al alev, shebi mos hamashiach yiftal davar mimin hagam. Then nothing will change in the natural order. Shalom, mimin hagam shalom. Oye Hashem chidush b'mayis bereishis. There will not be anything new in terms of creation. Ela olam kimin hagam noheg. The world functions according to its natural order. Where it says that the wolf will dwell with the lamb. Venomer, the leopard, imgidi, with the goat. Yerbats, mashal v'chida. He says, just an example, does not literal. Inyan hadava, sheyi Yisrael yosh from labetach.
Somebody's phone died.
Is that yours? Hello?
Shuldava, are you there?
Maybe he checked out.
We'll just tell you.
Somebody's...
Not 40%.
No, but somebody's no longer on. And Shmuel Dov is
he might have gotten off.
Is Mitch on?
I don't know. Is Mitch on?
Hello? Hello? Am I switching to...
Want to call him back? Call back Shmuel Dov.
Mitch?
Okay.
Oh, he's still there. Okay, fine. We just sort out. Right. Okay.
All right. Wait. It was
so hard
that I'm calling him back.
Okay. Yeah. So it appears according to the Rambam that whatever is going to take place, is not there's no change.
Correct.
So apparently, what is the machlokas over here? There's a machlokas apparently, and I think it has to do with the perfectibility of man. That is, the Rambam agrees that most Mashiach people will. But you see, I don't think the Rambam holds that man will be different, that people won't be able to sin. I don't think that's the case. Because you can have karbanos, you can have the tshuva, you can have the whole Torah system. Right? I think it means to say that mankind will have changed. In other words, the desire of people will. There'll be peace, there'll be abundant peace. And they'll all recognize the Jews in terms of the chachma. And they'll all come one, they'll recognize and value the chachma of the Torah. So in that sense, the world will be perfected. Not because people have law, their nature has changed.
No.
The societal conditions, the education, the values that will permeate the whole society, and also the removal of the incentives for war, because wealth will be so abundant, nobody will have to fight anymore, and so on and so forth. So according to the Rambam, it's going to be a situation in which mankind will achieve its ultimate state of perfection. But not because he'll still have
change
the Yetzer Hara, still have the Yetzer Hara, not because of a change of nature. See, what I find appealing about the Rambam's position, because that really affirms the perfectibility of man.
Right.
That man can perfect himself the way God created him. Bechira, you see? Bechira, through the use of his Bechira. The Ramban seems to be holding that he can't achieve this lofty state. As long as he has the Yetzer Hara, as long as he pursues. So that's something which God will tolerate for a certain point of time, but then afterwards he will put him in a state where he has to choose the good. Well, Yecheskel can be interpreted by the Rambam. The Rambam's not going against Yecheskel. The Rambam, the spirit, the way the Rambam would learn those things, apparently conditions, there'll be certain things will happen which will cause, you know, people, the Jews to do tshuva, and mankind itself. A lot of things could happen that would cause mankind to...
Maybe it's over time. I always say, there's no question that over time, say last 3,000 years, there was changed certain attitudes towards certain things.
People think certain things, what
people took for granted, and okay, that's okay, who gives, now is unacceptable. It sounds like it takes 3,000 years to get there, but the truth of the matter is, certain ideas, like the idea of slavery, that although it happens in places, but nowadays the idea, not just in America, the general civilization looks upon as that a disgusting thing, not an acceptable thing. Not acceptable.
Just the idea itself of human rights.
There are changes.
People have dignity. No.
Human value.
Right. Values change, and attitudes change, attitudes towards the Jews, attitudes towards this thing and that thing. The problem is that we can't, if you look at history, you do see this, but we're living in the moment. So, you know,
but if you look back, you see that there's...
You definitely, there is a process going on.
When you see ancient civilizations, Rome, for Rome, well, I like Rome, but Rome would...
I'll give you one example. Because I used to give this shiur or this class, are we living in messianic times? And I showed, I don't know when Mashiach is coming or who he is or whatever, that doesn't matter. But look at the program. Like the Rambam delineates that there's going to be a tremendous wisdom in the world. Okay, and tremendous abundance. Are you serious? Look at the wisdom in the world there is now with technology. You put a man on the moon. Look at the progress factor. Who would have imagined?
The internet
and so on and so forth. And that, what the Navi says, that beat your swords in the plowshare, that there won't be hunger in the world. We could eliminate hunger. If there wasn't for warfare, there's enough abundance.
If the world was in peace, and there's technology,
you could build up. What holds it back is that last component, the fact that people are not just looking for power and so on and so forth. But look at the extent.
People are not being scared, they're giving out. The rich just hoard it, and there's still a tremendous amount of poverty all over the place.
Right, I'm saying, but we can end it.
It could be ended. Rich, powerful people that are not letting it, yeah.
Right, but from a technical, scientific point of view, look at the progress. Who could have dreamed about this? Saving lives with surgeries, with this, with that.
Well, the green revolution, like having a food special, major foods, everybody could have food
so
available.
The increase in Chachma is a tremendous, even that change, even that we read about in Kino 20, about the church and all that. But look at that. The church, all the branches of Christianity, officially even Protestants as well, have had to relinquish the theology. In other words, you can't hold the Jews responsible. Anti-Semitism is a sin. That's the official doctrine. Who would have said that? Are you kidding me? I mean, most of the Crusades, the Inquisitions, that a church should go through a major... That's the foundational point of the whole theology, is that the Jews sinned and they were rejected. No, you can't say that. So the fact is, the matter is, that we have been inching... We have been inching closer and closer to Mashiach. If you look at it from that point of view, from the program, and how close we are in terms of the objective conditions of Yemos HaMashiach, yeah, I'd say we are living in Messianic times. Okay, I don't know.
How long?
There's the factor of man. That's the issue. That's what the issue
is. Can man's thing?
Rationality.
Nature.
The extent to which the world has been developed, and civilization and scientific progress is an amazing thing. Now the question is man's moral perfection. We still have a way to go. But there has been tremendous progress. You can't say that nothing is static. That for the last 2,000 years nothing has happened. You can't say that. Conclude that the factor of Moshe's argument, the factor of God's name, the Chilul Hashem factor, does play a role throughout our history. Except it's also in conflict with the idea of punishment for the fact that the Jews have sinned. And that's how it's worked out, so to speak. Yechezkel shows you how it's worked out. That ultimately God will, quote, take mercy on his name, and he will bring about, he'll effectuate those conditions which ultimately will lead to the Kiddush Hashem, and of course will, in the course of doing that, that will bring about the redemption of the Jews as well. Okay, I think it's a very, very big issue, and that is the question, perfectibility of man. Most people would say no, given all of history and all the corruption, and we never get tired of the corruption, man is a hopeless creature. Judaism, I think, and that's what Christianity is not rooted. Christianity is not rooted in the idea, because they hold that man cannot perfect himself. That's why you need grace and whatever, you die for your sins. Okay, because if you could correct your sins, no one has to die for you. I don't think that Islam believes it either. I don't think Islam believes that you may have perfectibility. Judaism is the only religion that talks about the moral. That's why this word has to get out there. People should know about this. Judaism is a blueprint and a prescription for man perfection. And he doesn't need divine grace, etc., etc., etc. He needs to do the mitzvos. That's the idea of the mitzvos and study of Torah and to perfect his nature. That's the hopeful message that we come to on this Tisha B'Av.